text for our gospel lesson today is after Jesus has washed his disciples' feet, after they have celebrated the Last Supper, after Peter has been told that he will deny Jesus, and as they're now heading out to sing hymns at the Garden of Gethsemane, on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, he says these things to them. He tells them that that things are going to happen. He tells them that they should be ready because the ruler of this world is coming, and Jesus is going to submit to the Father's will, and things are going to happen. He's not going to have much time left with them, but he tells them this promise. He says that the Father and him will come and make their home with him. Isn't that awesome? That they will make their dwelling with him. That should alone be enough for us, right? In the Seder meal, we say, you know, that we use the Dainu, that which is, this would be enough for us. It should be enough for us that the Father and the Son will make their home with us. And yet he goes on and he continues to tell them even greater things. He says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. These are the words I want to look at today, because it's not only the fact that the Father is going to make it says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. But that he goes on to say that when the Holy Spirit comes, when the Helper, and I love this because the Helper is the gift, right? The Helper is a gift that we hear the word is actually parakletos, which in Strong's definition is an intercessor, a consoler, an advocate, or a comforter. We know that the Holy Spirit is given to us, as I said during the children's sermon, the Holy Spirit is given to us at our baptism, right? Because did not the disciples receive it on the night when Jesus was resurrected? When he comes to his disciples and they're scared, remember Thomas was missing that night, and they came and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Did they not receive the Holy Spirit? Did not have the Holy Spirit? But they didn't act like they had it, right? That's kind of, in some ways, that's how the church often acts. Yeah, we have the Holy Spirit. Yep. We got baptized. Yep. We're members. We've been taught. Yep. That's all good. But we act like we have the Holy Spirit. But the question is, does the Holy Spirit have us? That's the question. Because how many of us, and I am really bad for this, so I'm confessing before my brothers and sisters, how many of us, when we should take help, don't? I can do it on my own. I'm fine. I'm okay. No problem. As I'm dying, right? I had some back pain earlier last week, but praise be to God, the Lord is healing me, and I'm way better. But I was in bad pain last week, and my wife could tell you, you think by now at age 52, I'd have learned this by now, that you shouldn't keep doing things that cause you pain. You know? But I'm German. And, you know, I just kind of end up doing the same thing over and over again. Even though it's painful. Just frustrating. Now, I know there's other Germans out there that aren't like me, so I'm not trying to put the whole race down, but it's difficult. You know, I didn't want help. I was in terrible pain, but you know, I kind of wanted to do it on my own. Don't help me. I'm okay. As I'm dying. You see, the Holy Spirit is, we're told over and over again, is a shy member of the Trinity. He's the perfect gentleman. He's not going to force himself upon you. He's not going to force you to receive the gifts that the Lord has for you. He's not going to force you to do things. I think Jesus makes it very clear. He is your helper. He is your comforter. He is your intercessor. He is your consoler. He is your advocate. I'll never forget back when I was in Saskatchewan, I had an opportunity to help someone. And I thought, you know, I figured I knew what I was doing, and I was, you know. And we went in, it was a court case, and it was in this Legion Hall. There was a traveling judge in those days. And I thought I knew everything because I had read up on this, and I thought I could handle this. He wanted my help. I thought, oh, good, you know. I'm going to show people I'm not just a pastor. I got this. And when we walked in, they actually had advocates available for people that couldn't afford a lawyer. And I'll never forget thinking to myself, well, we don't need that. I got this. And then as soon as we started this whole proceedings, I all of a sudden realized that I was way out of my... This was way more than I knew. And if Tom was here, he'd probably... Well, we have a lawyer back there. Tom would probably go, yes, you're way out of your depth, right? You think you know everything. And so I was so thankful for the advocate, because we had someone who, when I realized we were getting, you know, he was able to ask for a pause, and we were able to get his advice and carry on. And it was so great to have that advocate. And yet, how many of us, by our human nature, want to do things? How many of us are like the people back in Babel who wanted to build the tower to make a great name for themselves, who wanted to say, look at what we can do? Nothing's changed. Still the same sinful people, right? We still want to do it on our own. And yet the Holy Spirit is a gift for us. This Parakletos is a gift for us so that we don't have to do it on our own. He wants to show us God's power. He wants to show us what God's will is. He wants to show us that he is doing mighty things. He is still doing miracles. Do you know this? He's still alive and well and doing amazing things. Sometimes in the West, we kind of don't want to do things because we rely on technology. We rely on ourselves. We rely on our money. We rely on the things that we have at our disposal. And so a lot of times we don't need that help, or at least we think we don't need the help. And so he's not showing up the way that he's showing up in countries. I mean, there are testimonies from countries all around the world where the Holy Spirit is doing mighty things. He's even raising people from the dead. I always call myself a Pentecostal Christian because I want to see him do that here. I want to see him do mighty things. I've been healed. And many of you know I was in the hospital. I thought it didn't look very good. Yet I'm here today. The Lord is able to do mighty things, but the Holy Spirit is that shy member of the Trinity. He is not going to force himself on us. He wants us to ask. He wants us to be open. He wants us to be basically willing to allow him to do things. And you know what the biggest thing against that I think the church has against the Holy Spirit is that he takes us out of our comfort zones. How many of you know everybody has a comfort zone? Yeah, it's kind of this area, right? And we don't like to go outside of the comfort zone. How many of us like to say, yeah, I love to go out of my comfort zone? We might have to go out of our comfort zone. Might be forced to go out of our comfort zone. But how many of us willingly want to go out of our comfort zone? Yay! Take me where I'm uncomfortable and I'm unhappy. Yes. No, it's not normal. It's not human. We want to stay in our comfort zone. And yet the Holy Spirit, if we're really willing, because our Lord is able, if we're really willing, what does he say? He says, I will take you. Do you think those poor fishermen who were locked in their room together for fear of the Jews were by their own strength and power able to go and talk like they did in Acts chapter 2? Call people to repentance. Tell them it's you who put Jesus to death. It's you who need to repent. So much so that the people responded and said, what should we do? They were so convicted because they all of a sudden had boldness. They all of a sudden had words they didn't have before because they were allowing the Holy Spirit to work through them. Brothers and sisters, that's what I want for you. Oh, I want that for you. I want that for me. Because the Lord wants to do mighty things. And today, of all days in history, as the Lord shows us his wisdom in a world that doesn't want to hear his wisdom, how we need to appreciate what he promised. He said that the Holy Spirit, the shy member of the Trinity, would teach us. He would help us. He would comfort us. He would advocate for us. He would intercede for us. He would teach us and help us to remember everything Jesus said. Jesus told them when they would get drawn up in front of councils not to worry about what to say, but that the Holy Spirit would teach them what to say. But you know, we're all at different places. We hear this story again that Bruce read, the coming of the Holy Spirit. We hear it, and we know that the Lord fixed Babel. He confused the language of the people because they were trying to make a name for himself. But when he decided to build this church, what did he do? He did the reverse. He gave people tongues so that they could speak languages for all the people to hear them. Can you run the Pentecost video, please? On there is a map. I want you to pay close attention to where all these people are from. I just thought the map was really helpful, right? See why Pentecost was so important? It was a high feast. People came. And because of that, the gospel went out. Because of the boldness of the disciples, their willingness to let the Spirit use them as he wants to use us, to allow him to speak through them, people were saved. The good news was proclaimed. Now, my question for you as we're going to go into a time of prayer now, my question for you is, what does the Lord want from you? Every one of us is unique. The wonderful thing about the church is, which I think often people say to us, well, there isn't a great sense of unity because we're not all the same. Huh. Do you think all those disciples were the same? Do you think that John would have liked to be compared with Peter? He didn't betray Christ. He didn't deny him. You know, we're all different. And yet the Lord wants to use us with our gifts, with our personality, with the gifts that he's given to us. We often talk about the Romans 12 gifts as our personality gifts, the gifts that we are born with, the gifts that we're naturally predisposed to, that he can amplify by the Holy Spirit. We talk about the manifestation gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which are supernatural gifts that the Lord wants to use through his church to edify the church. And finally, we talk about the office gifts of Ephesians chapter 4, that some are apostles, other evangelists, other prophets and pastors and teachers, that he wants to use these gifts in the church to build his church. So let's watch this last video, and I just want to ask you to prayerfully consider what you're going to see as where are you at and what is the Lord putting on your heart. I enjoyed that video, probably because I like the different light bulbs, but I thought it was really cool because it doesn't matter where you are. Where you are in relationship. Maybe you don't know what your gifts are. Maybe someone's never taken the time to sit down with you and actually ask, what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that I have? How can I use them? But yet the Lord wants to take all of us, wherever we're at, and he wants to use us powerfully. So can we stand now? Let's stand. And can we put out our hands? This is a Hebraic way of receiving. Put out our hands. Let's ask the Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who the Father sent in Jesus' name to show us the areas of our life that he wants to have reign in. He wants to show us, we pray that he'll open our hearts so that he can reign in our lives and he can show us what areas he wants to light in our life and what area he wants to grow us in, what area he has called us to, what ministries he wants us to partake in, just that we would be open to receiving. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have given us this gift. If we believe in you, if we have faith, it is because of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that we cannot say yes to you unless we have that gift of your Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, we know that we can't do it on our own. It's not our ability. As a sinful human being, we cannot receive you on our own. But with the power of your Holy Spirit, we know that we have received you as our Lord and Savior. Now, O Lord, we ask, no matter where we are in our relationship with you, that today you would take away the obstacles that we have placed in the way for you to truly reign in our hearts and our minds. Lord, you tell us that you are our helper, our comforter, our advocate, our intercessor. You want to reign in our life. You want to be king over our life. So Lord, we ask now that you would help us to remove the obstacles wherever we're at in our relationship with you, Lord. We ask that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, fill us overflowing. Fill us, Lord, we pray. Send your Holy Spirit powerfully among us. Fill us from top to bottom with your Holy Spirit, Lord. May we not leave here today. May we not leave this place. For we, like your disciples, are gathered in one place, and we know that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon your people. And as we receive your body and blood today, as we received your word this day, Lord, as we receive the forgiveness of our sins this day, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray.